American Sniper has set box office records over the last few weeks. It tells the story of Chris Kyle, known as America's most lethal Navy SEAL sniper. The film is up for 6 Oscars, including Best Picture, and Bradley Cooper is nominated for Best Actor for his portrayal of Chris Kyle. The movie's generated a lot of discussion, both pro and con, about Kyle's legacy, and it also got current state Scott Pohl to thinking about what it's really like to serve as a sniper. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Mark. I recently reached out to a friend who has strong military ties in Michigan to see if he knew any Navy SEAL snipers, and he does. That exchange led me to Ryan Parrott. Now living in Texas, he served with Chris Kyle and spent a lot of time with him after his time on active duty. A teacher at Chippewa Valley High School in Clinton Township got him interested in the Navy SEALs.
I had a teacher that was very motivating, and he was a former Marine back in Vietnam. And he said there was only one thing better than the Marine Corps, and that's the United States Navy SEALs. And at that point in time, I wasn't doing very well in school, had no motivation. But to hear somebody who believed in the Marine Corps in Vietnam more than him, talk about something better, I had to turn my head and listen. And that was the initial burst I had of, wow, this sounds incredible. After talking with him that first time and hearing that there was something better than the Marine Corps, which I always looked at as a special deal, I started to investigate the SEALs a little bit more.
I think people tend to think of the Navy SEALs when they hear Navy SEALs as the best of the best. Can you tell me a little bit about the qualifications it takes to become a Navy SEAL?
SEAL training is 6 months long. They call it BUDS, or Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL Training. And it's 6 months long, and it's a school to weed out the weak, to get you ready, mind, body, and sound, to start learning how to be a SEAL. So going through SEAL training doesn't make you a SEAL. And then there are follow-on courses after that that actually take you to becoming a SEAL. So it's about a year and a half program altogether before you actually get to your platoon.
Now, you became a sniper with the Navy SEALs. I assume not every Navy SEAL is a sniper. Can you tell me about the qualifications for service as a sniper?
Well, sniper's an interesting deal. When I joined the service, I'd never really shot a gun in my life, so I didn't know anything about the shooting aspect of it, nor being a sniper. But after my first deployment, I decided that I wanted to be a better shooter. I idolized our snipers, and so I submitted myself into my chief and said, "Hey, I'd like to be a sniper. I'd like to go through the course." And I was picked up by the class, and I was run through the course. It's a difficult course. It's very, very a technical course because you're taking something which you've never done before and you're expanding it to shooting distance. You're learning about wind. You're learning about the technologies of different weapon systems that are out there. There's a lot of effects that the elements of the outside have on the bullet. So there's just a lot of stuff within the category of shooting that can be expanded upon that really makes you what they would call a sniper. And my personal take on being a sniper is that once you go through the sniper course, you're a really, really good shooter because you've been shooting consistently every day. But to continue to call yourself a sniper, you have to be consistent in shooting every single day. Otherwise, you've gone through the course, and I would call myself a has-been because I don't shoot to that level anymore, so I would consider myself a sniper. But ultimately, once you come out of that course, you are a very, very good shooter.
Is there a psychological element to the training that you got to become a sniper? I mean, there's more than being a good shot. I mean, ultimately, a sniper is taking human lives. Is there a psychological element to the training you get?
Well, I mean, I can only speak for myself on the behalf of going through this course. But, for me, when you're going through sniper school, you're only focusing on making it through school. So you're focusing on learning new techniques, the technologies. And you're thinking about it day by day, but it's just like SEAL training. I mean, it's already ingrained in you to focus on just the situation at hand and nothing else. So we're very good at compartmentalizing our thought process to focusing on that one element that sits just before us instead of moving into, wow, I've got this long of sniper school, all these things to pass, how am I going to do this? So I guess in the psychological aspect, yes, there is, but it's not trained or built to you right in day one of sniper school. That's worked through all of SEAL training. And most of the guys who join to become SEALs who do have that psychological aspect. They have that strength, whether it comes from their life growing up and the circumstances, or primarily that's the number one reason, I would say. Just growing up in different atmospheres and understanding how to live with inside your head and just focusing on the now instead of focusing on the future is what really gets you through, you know, this training, types of different training, you know, in war.
Ryan Parrott grew up in Michigan, went on to Navy SEAL service as a sniper. We're talking with him from his current home in Texas. Can you tell me where you served, where were you deployed, and how many tours of duty you might have served?
Sure. Well, I served from 2002 to 2010. All my time was on the West Coast. I was attached to SEAL Team 7, and I served all my time at SEAL Team 7 before becoming an instructor on my last tour of duty. And I did the instructor duty for about a year, and then I discharged from service in 2010. So I served multiple places around the world, but my combat was in Iraq. I served three deployments in Iraq, 2005, 7, and 9. And then I went to a couple other smaller places to do some shorter deployments, but nothing to write home about.
Okay, now, since your service, you've come home to found an organization called Sons of the Flag. Would you tell me what Sons of the Flag is, what kind of work Sons of the Flag does?
Absolutely. So in my first deployment in 2005, we were driving down the road and our vehicle convoy was struck by an IED. And it unfortunately hit my vehicle and it threw me through the turret onto the ground. When I got up, I was instantly engulfed in flames and so was everybody else in the Hummer. And being burned, the first thing you take it to the worst level. So you say, oh my gosh, my face is gone. The pain is unreal. Seeing your buddy suffer is just horrible. And usually when you get into an injury with your buddies, typically you forget about your wounds. So you work on your teammates because you love your brothers. You care about them and you want to make sure that everybody's safe. And so getting through that and then pushing on and continuing on my career, you know, I was very fortunate that I had superficial wounds, so they healed. Years later, moving to Dallas, Texas, I met a gentleman by the name of Sam Brown, who was a former captain in the Army, and he was in a roadside bomb in Afghanistan. Different from my injury is he was actually severely burned, to where third-degree burns, 30% of his body, his face, his hands, the typical places that you get burned in the military. And I've never seen an injury like that before. You know, initially you see the injury, but it looks a lot different years afterward. And so sitting there talking with him and saying, hey, what's next for you? What's next in the pipeline of surgeries? And he says, this is as good as it gets for me. And that moment, I decided that I wanted to do something for him because I don't ever want to hear a soldier, a firefighter, or somebody who serves our country come back and say, that's as good as it gets, or I don't know. I mean, we're America. We could do a lot better. So in 2012, in January, I got a bunch of guys together and we started the organization Sons of the Flag to be the resource for burn survivors nationally, to build that pipeline for burn survivors and their families to understand where they need to go for the most effective tools, the most effective treatment, and for overall better quality of life.
Sons of the Flag is based in Texas. Are the services available to veterans here in Michigan?
Yes, sir. So we're in 28 states right now, including Michigan, and we have a key representative in Michigan named Ryan Schatzberg, who is our team leader out there. So each state has a team leader, and their information is bestowed on our website to get a hold of our task force leaders if you're in need of any kind of support whatsoever. Call our Michigan task force leader, and he will respond and give you the information you need and help you along your process.
Is this primarily for medical treatment, or again, is there also psychological treatment available to burn victims?
Sons of the Flag does not we do not have a setup for psychological treatment, but we do partner with other organizations who take that one or already pre-existing us who do psychological treatment. So by being the resource for burn survivors, what we're doing is displaying the actual key ingredients out there in the United States that are working, so we can bring these patients to treatment facilities.
Ryan, I know that you served with Chris Kyle, of course, the man whose autobiography is the basis for the Oscar-nominated film American Sniper that millions of people have gone to theaters to see in the last few weeks. You were close friends, including after coming home. I'd like to hear your story, your own remembrances about the man you knew. Tell us about the Chris Kyle that you knew.
It's an interesting story for me. Is I was overseas in 2005 with Chris for a very short period of time. Now, we were in different teams, and we never operated together on the battlefield. But I got to sit with him, interact, and talk, and just learn about different things. I was a new guy. He was a little bit older. And so just as a new guy, you want to consume as much information as possible. From the get-go, he was always somebody that people looked up to. And me being a new guy, I really looked up to him. I mean, here's a guy who's a sniper, who's a SEAL, who's been there for a while, and I'm brand new, so, wow, this guy is incredible. And that was the last time in the team that I actually saw him and talked with him. And I went the rest of my career, you know, with my team doing our thing. And after getting out of service, moving to Dallas, Texas, Chris had already gotten out of the service and moved to Dallas. And what's the one thing you want to do? The second you get out of the service, you want to get to your brotherhood. You want to find your brothers. And so when I got up to Dallas, I got his contact information, and I called him up and said, hey, I'd love to hang out. And that's when our relationship really built strong. We ended up hanging out quite a few times, just, you know, doing lunches or just after hours at work. And he's a really, really cool guy. He's down to earth. You know, he just had a smile on his face at all times. There's a lot of people in the media that are painting different pictures about Chris. A lot of people paint pictures when they don't even know him or got a snapshot of him, but he was very charismatic, very outgoing. Loved to smile, loved to laugh and make jokes, but he was a military guy and he was structured. The neatest thing about Chris is he truly believed in service, all parts considered. From the day he started serving his country in the military, the day he got out serving his country off the battlefield by helping out, starting organizations, helping other organizations get their start, and then also helping other organizations that were pre-existing him grow, because he cared about our troops coming back and getting the best treatment, getting the best life they can possibly have, and saying thank you for your service. You've got a guy as elite as Chris Kyle who's coming back and saying thank you to soldiers on a daily basis. And, you know, the neat thing about that for me was sitting with him for the last time before he was taken from us. And I said, what do you want to do in life? And he said, I just want to help soldiers get back to as best as they can, and then I want to take them hunting. And I thought that was pretty rich, you know. After all the stuff he's seen, all the stuff he's done, you know. And then he wants to just take soldiers out in the field, get them back, and then take them out hunting. So, you know, one of my close buddies and just an amazing American. And, you know, the sniper piece was just one deal to him, just one piece to him. He was an incredible shooter. He was very blessed to be in a lot of great positions to do the work that we were required to do. But there was a lot more to Chris than just being a shooter. And his parents raised him with values in the country to protect your country, protect your family, and believe in God. And he did. So, he's an amazing man who exceeded expectations everywhere.
Ryan Birdman Parrott grew up in Michigan, served his country as a Navy SEAL sniper, continues to serve his country post-military service with an organization called Sons of the Flag, which is a resource for military burn survivors. Ryan Parrott, thank you so much. Great talking with you.
Great talking to you, too. Thank you for your time.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.